A fishing float plops into blue water, creating ripples. A boy holds a fishing pole and sits on a crescent moon among white clouds. Words appear. DreamWorks SKG. On a black background, words appear. A world without string is chaos. Rudolf Smuts. In front of a church, pigeons fly over two rows of people dressed in black with matching umbrellas on a stairway leading to the front door. A priest with altar boy in tow leads a funeral procession down the stairs. Among the pallbearers is a thin, clean-shaven man and a stockier, mustached man.
Hold your end up higher. You're not holding it.
I am, too.
You are not.
Don't worry about me. Hey, isn't that suit charcoal?
The thin man looks over his suit.
No.
Looks charcoal gray to me. And gray polyester blend. I think you'd find a black suit for your own father's funeral.
It's black.
No, I'm sure it's gray.
It's black.
Gray.
Black.
Gray.
Black.
Fine, it's black. It's the grayest black I've ever seen.
It doesn't matter what color it is.
His handle breaks free. The coffin slides down the stairs and hits a hearse.
I'm sorry, Pop. I'm sorry.
A white-haired body flies out of the coffin, over the hearse, and into an open manhole. Looking up at the sky from the manhole, words appear. DreamWorks Pictures presents. The pallbearers look down the hole with two workers.
Quick, get him out of there.
He's halfway to the harbor by now, Pop.
Oh, well.
The hole becomes the hole of a giant spool of string over a black background. Nathan Lane. The spool fades away, string trailing. Lee Evans. A web of strings pull pieces of letters together. Mouse Hunt. Before a brick factory, a sign reads, Smuts String. An Alan Riche, Tony Ludwig production. Inside, a worker dumps white blocks into a crate labeled wax. Vicky Lewis, Maury Chaykin, Eric Christmas, Michael Jeter, Camilla Sober, Deborah Christofferson. Spools slide down holes onto a conveyor belt. Ian Abercrombie, Annabelle Gerwich, Eric Popick, Ernie Sabella, with William Hickey and Christopher Walken. A man licks a string and fails to place it into a large metal ring. A metal claw drops a ball of twine onto another conveyor belt. Music by Alan Silvestri. Film editor, Craig Wood. Director of photography, Faden Papamichael. A ball falls off the belt and bounces off a barrel. The ball rolls between two men pushing dollies, off a balcony, and knocks a lever from slow to fast. The ball falls and blocks the spool conveyor belt. Produced by Alan Riche and Tony Ludwig, Bruce Cohen. Spools slide down rapidly. Video description produced by Closed Captioning Services and WeCTV.com. Written by Adam Rifkin. Spools stack up the entire length of the poles and pile behind the ball of twine. Gears smoke. A portrait of a white-haired man.
I leave you not just a model factory, but something infinitely more valuable.
In an office.
The future of string itself.
The mustached man looks down to see spools and balls cover the factory floor. Directed by Gore Verbinski.
And thus, it is my dying wish that my two sons run Smuts String together.
Great. Let's stick a for sale sign on the lawn and see what we can get.
Ernie, we're not supposed to sell it. We're supposed to run it together.
Either way, this godforsaken museum piece is not worth a dime, no, is it, Lars?
Some things are more important than money, Ernie.
Notice it's always the financially challenged who say that.
Please. I also bequeath to you my personal effects, including
my ceramic egg. Half box of Cuban cigars.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. My collection of spoons.
My goodness. What a treasure.
Spoons! Spoons! So many spoons, so little time.
Oh, and of course something no household should be without. The ceramic egg. Ooh. Can I have the egg? Can I, huh? Huh? No. I want you to have it.
Fine, I'll take it.
His thumb jams in it.
Look, if you find any real estate on that desk, you let me know.
Well, it seems there is also a house.
A house?
Yes, 5120 Nortondale. Your father acquired it many years ago as payment of a debt. He never lived there, but it's interesting. It seems the previous owner was found locked in a trunk in the attic.
Wait a minute. Is it worth anything?
Well, he was able to borrow $50,000 against it to pay his workers.
Really?
So what is its value today?
$50,000.
Great.
A worthless house and a broken-down string factory. Oh, well. At least the day was in a total loss. Thanks for the stogies, Pop.
Wait, you can't go, Ernie. We have to go through all these papers.
The egg flies off Lars' thumb, bounces off the lawyer's head, and crashes on the floor.
You'll have to excuse me. I've got a date with the mayor.
At a restaurant, Ernie is dressed in a tux.
Ah, Monsieur le Maire, Madame Mayor, welcome to chez Ernie. What an honor it is to have you in my humble bistro. Suivez-moi. Oh, you brought the little ones, the little bicycle kids. Bonjour. Our very best table. Have you lost a little weight?
Or...
I think so. I think you may be buff. Je suis enchanté pour votre beauté. You know what I mean?
Oh, Monsieur Ernie.
Excusez-moi. Au revoir, les enfants.
In a kitchen, Ernie in a chef's hat leans over a cooking dish.
Yeah, it's not so thin at the top. Just like the old man to die before I hit it big.
A cockroach crawls out of the cigar box.
Remember, everyone, attention to detail is vital. Presentation is everything. No. These I must deliver myself.
Donc à l'orange avec du quark sauce, infusionné, la spécialité de la maison. Lobster loaf à la Ernst ou la bibliothèque. Bon appétit.
A reporter and photographers enter.
Ah, bonjour.
Chef Ernie, how does it feel to be serving the mayor on the eve of his campaign re-election?
Well, Leslie, may I call you Leslie?
Of course.
Ah, well, you know who.
Crunchy. I love the almonds.
Leslie, cuisine, she is a fickle mistress.
Ew, look! A cockroach.
Oh.
Cockroach. Daddy, you ate the head.
Honey, are you okay?
Pink sauce and half a cockroach fall to the tablecloth. It crawls away. The daughters stab at it with fork and knife. The mayor holds both his hands over his chest. He falls over, legs shaking. The mayor's body lies in an ambulance. Ernie watches from the restaurant window through police tape. Outside the factory.
Schmunstring is a relic of history.
Inside.
You don't make string by twining two strands together anymore. No, you make it simple, singular, strong with nylon.
But that's not string, that's cord.
Exactly.
Twine is yesterday. Single strand cord is today.
Zepco International has been interested in your factory for years, but your father refused to sell.
We're hoping you would be a little smarter.
Zepco is willing to buy you out and bring this museum into the 21st century. Of course, we would keep you on as a string consultant with a huge salary and a hefty pension.
Lars looks at a suitcase full of $100 bills.
What do you say?
Lars Lars pulls his hand out of his pocket. He holds up a small piece of string and stares at it. Lars sees himself at his father's bedside in a hospital. Ernie sits at a wall, reading.
My sons.
Ernie looks up.
Yeah, just a sec.
I want you to have something. My most prized possession.
Oh, it's a piece of string.
Not just any string. The string. I found it my first day in America.
What's with the string?
It's been in my pocket for 60 years here. I want you two to share it. Maybe it will bring you closer together. You haven't talked much lately.
Yeah.
Ah! What are you doing?
I'm breaking it in half.
No!
No?
I want you to share it. Forever.
Sure, Pop, sure. Here, you carry it the first 50 years. I'll take it the next.
Sure.
And turn up the morphine drip a little.
I heard that. Promise me that you will never sell Schmuntz string to one of those big conglomerates. Keep it between you. Brothers, family, promise.
I promise, Pop. I promise.
So you were saying?
I'll have to pass. A world without string is chaos.
Lars ducks under a flying cup.
For once, the schmuntz name was worth something!
Oh, oh. No. You used to love string.
That was before, when I was dating the son of a wealthy string magnate. Not now, when I am married to the half-owner of a worthless death trap.
She opens a suitcase.
Be happy. I stood up for myself today. April, I've got new ideas for the factory. You know, I've got big plans.
Don't you see, Lars? That's all you've ever had are plans. But my life is passing me by, and I need more. There's no air in the middle class, Lars. I can't breathe here.
Please, April, don't go.
I'm not going anywhere.
Lars puts the wreath back on his door. He walks out to his snow-covered front yard. At a diner.
In a few brief moments, the joy of the holidays was shattered and the world changed for many people. Mayor McCrinkle died this afternoon at 4:30 p.m. at Our Lady of Sorrows Hospital. Doctors here say the official cause of death is heart failure due to the mayor's recent culinary disaster. And once the hottest restaurant on the wharf, Shea Ernie, has been condemned and is scheduled for demolition.
I'm sorry. I don't think I ought to my cheese sandwich with capers. I'm sorry.
If there is a villain in this tragedy, it is Ernie Schmuntz. Once the whiz kid of the local restaurant scene.
What? Oh. You know what this is? I'll tell you. Guilt by accusation.
No capers.
No capers? But that's just grilled cheese. What's the point? What do they eat out of a trough? All right. Which one of you palateless sheep sent my sandwich back?
Hi, Ernie.
Lars?
On a snow-covered street.
When I'm in the kitchen, I cook. I can't control every single thing that goes on in there.
You know, it really isn't fair for everybody to blame you. You didn't do anything wrong.
Yes. Society always needs someone to persecute, a scapegoat, someone to demonize. The same thing happened to Galileo.
Really? That's unbelievable. With a cockroach and everything?
No. The point is, I put everything I had into that restaurant. It was my livelihood and my home. And in one fatal bite, it was all taken away from me. If only we could sell the factory.
I let you stay with me, you know, but April threw me out.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, don't worry about me, though, Ernie. This is temporary. April's been like this since high school. She'll be back.
Would you look at that? Sleeping on the street. Pitiful.
If I had a house.
outside, sleep in it.
Ernie, do you remember how close we were as kids?
No. Hey, Merry Christmas.
A lady in furs drops money in Ernie's hat.
Yeah, I was on top once, too. But there's only one way to go from there, and that's down, baby. Down.
He tosses the coins in a storm drain.
Ernie, there was a quarter in there.
A quarter? You think so small, Lars. Look at the bigger picture. You have no home, you have no wife, you have no money, you have no discernible talents. How can you ignore that?
Ernie, it's Christmas. Instead of dwelling on what we don't have, we should be thankful for what we do have.
Lars and Ernie watch the carolers leave. A white cake lies in the window behind them. It reads, "Welcome home." A two-story house sits on top. A two-story house sits alone on top of a snowy hill. A cream-yellow car drives up the hill and stops before the house.
Dump.
The brothers enter the foyer. Ernie's flashlight beam rests on a massive chandelier before tracing a curling staircase.
I can't believe Pops never told us about this house. It's huge.
This is just the kind of house I'd expect him to have. It's just like him, cold and spooky.
In a room, Ernie spots a mounted moose head. At the staircase,
feel that?
What?
I got a chill. We shouldn't talk about Pop like that.
Really? What's this do for you?
Thanks for nothing, you spring-sucking old moon!
He didn't mean it, Pop.
Only one bed. I'll flip you for it.
They lean over and stare at the quarter, which slowly stops spinning to stand on its edge.
Ernie. You asleep?
I was.
How can you sleep through that?
What? I don't hear anything.
Shh. That. Listen. It's coming from upstairs.
In the attic, Ernie's flashlight beam moves over assorted junk. Light seeps through a hole in the roof. Moths explode out of the box. Lars grabs a stick and swings wildly. He hits Ernie in the face. Ernie stumbles away. The moths scatter through the broken roof.
Ernie. No.
Ernie's face sticks through an old painting of a woman. Brothers circle back to back in the middle of the attic. A smiling, skeletal shadow looks down from the roof. Lars jumps into Ernie's arms.
Wait a minute. Stop. Look. It's only a toy.
Lars points the flashlight on a battered jack-in-the-box.
It's coming from up there.
Ernie puts his foot on Lars' locked hands.
One, two, three.
Ernie's head is pushed through the floor of a ledge. A mouse nibbles on a rolled piece of paper.
It's just a mouse. What? It's just a mouse. Never mind. Hey, there's some posters up here. Stand still.
Ernie throws his arm through the ledge. Lars sees the mouse scurry between his legs. Ernie falls to the attic floor. Lars falls on him.
They're blueprints.
In the kitchen.
Wow. Wait a minute, look at this date. 1876. A centennial house could actually be worth something.
Look, this must be the architect. Here, look. Charles LaLaRue.
Charles LaLaRue?
A plaque reads, Historical Society. A man opens a giant book.
Charles LaLaRue.
The brothers share a look at the house.
Charles LaLaRue.
Gawkers fill the foyer.
It's bold yet subtle.
Classical yet non-traditional.
The missing LaRue. The rumored design completed shortly before his committal is a rumor no more.
Before his committal? Well, I'm just glad he finished the place before they carted him off to the Laughing Academy. So, what do you think a magnificent edifice like this is worth? Properly restored, of course.
Well, his Parma charnel house went for $6,000, but that was 10 years ago, and it didn't have this exquisite molding.
I see. I can't get enough of good molding. Did you hear that? $600,000.
Alexander Falco!
A burly man in a gray coat enters.
Gentlemen, congratulations. Congratulations on your find.
Thank you.
I'm a great admirer of LaRue. Glass of rainwater.
Yes, Mr. Falco is the world's leading collector of LaRues.
Sort of like collecting stamps, but they're bigger, right?
I'll get to the point. LaRue, I have his books, I have his letters. Do you see these shoes?
LaRue's?
No, but I'm sure he would have loved them. Vegetarian snack. I own 42 LaRue houses. 42. I want to make it 43. You tell me how I'm going to do this. Tell me how I will do this. Two, you help me. How will I do this?
Well, I'm glad you asked. His Parma charnel house went for $6,000, but that was 10 years ago, and it didn't have this molding. I'd say a find like this in today's market is worth twice as much.
He's a LaRue connoisseur.
Guilty as charged.
Gentlemen, I'm going to make you an offer.
No. I couldn't possibly be so crass as to allow you to do that, but you are welcome to come to the auction.
Auction?
Auction?
Auction, yes. It would be grossly unfair of us to deprive others of the chance to bid on the missing LaRue.
May I have just one moment with my brother, please?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. Excuse me.
What is this?
It's the first...
No.
What are you doing?
What am I doing? I'm answering your prayers. These pigeons are ripe for the plucking. Put them in a room together. Try and outbid each other. We can make $700,000-$800,000 easy.
Oh, man. Smart. You're going to get this.
So, when is the earliest we can set the auction?
Well, I suppose all arrangements could be completed within the week.
A week it is.
Great.
You're smarter than you look.
Thank you.
But know this. I have never paid more than $10 million for a house in my life.
Lars and Ernie stand frozen at the doorway, staring out. Lars' mouth hangs open. People continue to walk throughout the house.
Okay, see you then.
Yeah. Thanks for stopping by.
At night, smoke drifts out of the house's chimney. Inside,
10 million linen napkins.
5 million bales of top-grade cotton fiber.
40,000 hot lamps, complete with rotating plate warming trays.
2,000 twine threaders, gleaming under real lights.
My own chain of five-star gourmet restaurants.
The mouse runs from a hole in the ceiling to a pipe. He follows the pipe down, passes through a fan, and transfers to a taut chain. The mouse runs through domed openings in walls before stopping in a mouse hole. Through the door, he sees Ernie and Lars.
If only Pop were here to see this house.
He did. He just wasn't smart enough to sell it. Lars, we've turned a corner. Our future is staring us in the face, and all we have to do is grab it, baste it, and scarf it down.
Ernie tosses an olive to himself. It hits his chin and lands on the floor. The mouse runs out to it. They watch it push the olive through the hole.
We finally found our friend's home. Well, I bought a little present for you, buddy.
Ernie, it's just a little mouse. Do we really have to kill it?
Yes. Listen to me. A single vermin can bring you down. Believe me, I know.
A mouse trap baited with an olive lies outside the mouse hole. In the bedroom. At the mouse hole, the mouse's nose pokes out, sniffing. The mouse stands over the olive. Smiling, the brothers go back to sleep. Morning, in the kitchen.
Trust you slept well?
Oh, like a baby.
Ernie grabs a cereal box. Cereal empties out of a corner onto the floor.
Hey, last night, did you happen to hear the,
Let's see.
Lars grabs a broom. At the mouse hole, the mouse trap is upside down. Ernie rights it with the broom.
Well, where'd he go?
I don't know. Maybe it snapped by itself.
I don't believe it. He snapped the trap, ate the olive, and left the pit just to mock us.
I think you're giving him a little too much credit. Mice don't mock. They don't have a sense of humor or irony. He's not sitting in his hole in a smoking jacket, sipping cognac and giggling to himself. I left the pit. The trap snapped itself, the olive flew off, and he ate it. It's just that simple. But now that he knows we're here, he won't come within a mile of us. I don't think we'll be seeing any more of that.
The mouse pours into the bowl. Lars grabs the broom. He swings it and breaks it on Ernie's head. Ernie hits Lars with the box. The bowl spins off the table. The mouse flees. Lars opens a drawer. He grabs a spatula, then an egg beater. Then a mallet. The mouse runs back into the kitchen. Ernie swings the broom. It hits the bowl, which flies into his mouth. Ernie drops to his knees, swinging. He lunges for the mouse. Lars slams Ernie's hand with the mallet.
No! Are you trying to kill me?
They wring each other's necks. The mouse darts into the mouse hole.
Let me see.
Can you see him? Get me my Gouda.
Ernie slices off a piece of cheese. He sets the mouse trap.
Careful.
Don't touch me. You'll snap it.
Well, you're not doing it right.
Well, please let me concentrate, will you?
Are you putting it on carefully? I'm not. Oh, relax. It's cheese.
He sets the trap at the mouse hole.
Bon appetit.
Behind them, the mouse rolls the wheel of Gouda out the kitchen.
Takes care of that.
Outside the house, Ernie walks out. Above the entrance, Lars is hammering new shingles to the wall. The hammer's head flies off, spilling a bucket of shingles onto Ernie below.
Hey!
Lars is now inside, cleaning a window.
Hey! What are you doing?
Lars shrugs and keeps cleaning. The mouse picks the Gouda wheel clean. It enters a mouse hole. Inside the wall, it travels down a long corridor, down a chain in front of a fan, and onto a rusted pipe. It enters another section of wall, rounds a corner, and and slides into a metal tin of white stuffing under a small piece of gray cloth. Its eyelids droop as it stares at a postcard of a hula girl that reads Hawaii. A nail bursts through the postcard. It's followed by several more. One punctures the tin. The mouse crawls under its hanging tin. Another nail crumples it. The mouse runs down a long corridor. Nails enter at intervals just behind the mouse. Inside the house, Lars crawls along a wall molding, nailing the motorized nail gun. A nail rams through right in front of the mouse. Five more fire in, pinning the mouse down. Shaking heavily, the mouse stares at the piece of wall circled by the nails. Lars nails another. It stops just before the mouse's nose. The nail head sticks out by an inch. Lars looks down at the nail gun. He picks up a hammer. The mouse winces and waits. Lars winds up. The mouse closes its eyes.
Lars, give me a hand with this.
The mouse sniffs, ears perked.
You sure this tub fits in with the rest of the house?
Jacuzzi tub, Lars. It's a jacuzzi tub. And this isn't just a house, it's a LaRue. Of course it fits in with the decor. Luxury is timeless.
How much, Ernie?
They carry it up the stairs.
It was a steal at $1,200.
$1,200? You spent our last money on a tub.
A jacuzzi tub. You have to spend money to make money. And they threw in the cardboard lady just to sweeten the deal.
Ernie sees the mouse's face magnified by a large jug of liquid. The mouse slides down the banister. Ernie falls into the tub, followed by Lars. The brothers and the smiling cardboard lady slide down the stairs, out the door, and onto the snowy hill. They come to rest on the middle of a frozen lake. Inside the house.
Don't you think this is a little much?
Never underestimate your opponent. Let's say he has mastered a way to empty a mousetrap without getting caught. If he snaps one of these babies, a chain reaction will start snapping them all. He'll panic, and the law of averages says one of them has to nab him.
Not bad.
Yes, well, I like to use both sides of my brain. Come on, let's hit the sack.
The door won't open. Ernie looks to Lars. They stare out to the kitchen floor, covered with hundreds of loaded mousetraps. Outside, clouds pass by as the sun slowly shines on the house. In the kitchen.
Have you figured it out yet?
Shut up. I'm thinking.
The mouse's head peeks out. Lars looks to his side. His eyes widen. Nimbly races through the mouse traps. It comes to a hanging cord and climbs up. It clambers up cupboards, moving between packaged food.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
It leaps out, catches a light switch cord, and swings to another shelf.
That was good.
It clambers through mug handles. climbs a long stem rose. The flower bends under the weight to rest on a can. The mouse gets off and climbs onto a giant can of beans.
Cheese dye is the mouth. They need fruit for energy.
The mouse jumps off onto a spoon. A single cherry is catapulted out onto the floor. The cherry spins harmlessly through many traps. The brothers watch the cherry slow. The stem lightly taps a resting olive. Forward and are covered with sprung traps. The mouse climbs down a power cord. It walks to a piece of cheese and rests its hand. The brothers pull off the traps. The mouse piles food on its head.
There he goes!
The mouse hurries off. Ernie opens a closet and grabs a vacuum cleaner.
Cheese!
Ernie chases the mouse under a ladder, through a doorway, and into a corner mouse hole.
This game is over!
Ernie thrusts the vacuum head in the hole. Inside the hole, the mouse, in midair, holds onto a chain. Debris flies down the corridor and into the vacuum.
I think it's working!
The tag tied to a pole flutters before the mouse. It reads, sewage line.
Whoa! Something.
Liquid leaks out the vacuum's hose.
Keep sucking.
The vacuum head is connected to the sewage line. The mouse runs by the disconnected piece.
Mouse stinks!
Dead animals always do.
The vacuum bag expands, popping open the lid. The bag is bloated to the size of a man. The mouse looks in from a window. Gray sludge smears the window. A half-bald man approaches the front door, holding a hammer and clipboard. Ernie and Lars are covered in spotted black mire.
What's this?
We're foreclosing on your house. You've quit paying your mortgage.
Oh, wait a minute. I think there's been some mistake. This house is paid for.
No, it was paid for, but you borrowed against it. If you don't pay the $1,200 overdue, we repossess it.
$1,200?
Well, how long do we have? 1 week from 5 days ago.
That's 2 days! Look, we don't have the time or the energy to deal with these petty problems. Now we're in the midst of an extensive renovation.
Looks like you're off to a great start.
In a gray stone hallway.
You could ask your boss at Rimpy's for an advance. You can pay him back after the auction.
Well, couldn't you ask your workers to forfeit their salary for a few weeks? You are the boss.
Well, if you hadn't spent all our money on that jacuzzi tub, we still might be able to pay the mortgage.
Well, it doesn't help to start crying now, does it?
Lars watches a woman drag a girl away. City Pound. In a lobby, Lars looks at a security camera.
That one's cute.
He doesn't have that killer instinct.
They look at a caged kitten. A man in a rubber suit takes the cage away. Another man in a rubber suit enters a sealed room. Gas wafts over him. He walks over and grabs the bell from Ernie.
Morning, gentlemen. I'm Maury. Is there anything I can do?
Hi, Maury. We need a cat.
Find the one you want, and I'll spay or neuter it myself.
Well, these are all kittens. We were hoping for an older cat, one with
experience?
That's a switch most people like the cute little ones experience with what?
Mouse hunting.
Oh, all cats are good mouses.
Yes, but you see, we have huge rats the size of sumo wrestlers and lots of them, so we really need a ferocious feline, preferably with a history of mental illness. I'm talking one mean pussy.
Yeah, a vicious cat. Difficult to love. Do you have any of those knocking around your cages?
Funny you should ask. I had all but given up on anyone wanting him. We were about to gas him again.
A wood box is chained down.
Again?
He spent most of his whole life in that box, I expect.
Ernie sees a tag.
Catzilla?
You know the guys who clean up call him that, but you can call him anything you want. I'd say he looks like a fluffy.
Ah, poor little Catzilla. You want a home, don't you? You want to get out of here. Where are you going to have to kill, kill, kill for it?
You're a stupid cat, aren't you? Yes, you are. And you're ugly. Extremely ugly.
Maury shoves a cattle prod in the box.
Oh, you little vicious cat.
We'll take him.
At the house. Lars drops Catzilla's box. Ernie pulls out a gray toy mouse.
He's got the scent now.
Yeah, go get him, boy.
Four legs break through the box.
Easy, easy, easy.
The box bumps into a ladder, then leaves the room.
Wow. I almost feel sorry for the little fella.
Almost.
Through wooden slats, Catzilla spies a mouse hole. It halts before the hole and retracts its legs into the box. The mouse rounds a corner and finds the box. It climbs up the front and peers inside the open slats. The box bursts apart. Catzilla shakes his head, then stares down. The mouse takes off and runs under a carpet. Catzilla follows, knocking over lamps and tables. Catzilla follows the mouse into a grand piano.
Stop worrying about that mouse and start thinking about how we're going to locate $1,200.
Don't worry, Ernie. The workers will help us out.
At the factory.
You see, the truth is, we don't actually have any money.
Rudolph's portrait stares at Ernie.
We may have to defer your next paycheck or two. So my brother and I can pay the mortgage on the house. It's the missing LaRue.
Ernie picks up the Zepco proposal. His eyes widen. He looks at Rudolph's glaring portrait.
What's the matter?
Well, the workers, they didn't react as positively as I'd hoped.
No? What are you doing?
You could fit through this window, right?
What?
I guess so.
But why? That was our last resort.
We're gonna have to find the money someplace else.
In the car.
Gosh, it's a shame nobody's interested in buying the factory.
Yeah, it's a shame.
But who'd be stupid enough to buy the factory, right?
Yeah.
Ernie stares at Lars. At a mouse hole. The mouse pushes four mouse traps into a square. It pushes another toward Catzilla's snaking tail. The mouse flees as Catzilla struggles with the mouse traps on his paws. The mouse runs upstairs. Catzilla frees himself and gives chase, knocking a can of yellow paint over the stairs. The mouse climbs up a sheet and wedges through a hole in the wall. Catzilla waits outside. The mouse climbs a rope up to a pulley and starts chewing at the rope. Catzilla opens a panel and enters a dumbwaiter. Red dust fills the open panel in the kitchen. Pincers open and close under giant antennae. A van with a giant bug on top pulls up to the house. A man pulls out equipment and approaches the house.
Oh, you must be Caesar.
Well, Mr. Caesar, glad you could get here so quickly.
Caesar creeps around the foyer. He stands at a wall. Ernie slowly turns to face Lars, who knits his brows and stares upward. Caesar wipes his hand along the banister and sniffs it.
You have mice.
He's good.
5120 Nortondale. January 4th, 0800 hours. Don't forget to get toothpaste and saran wrap.
We're in sort of a hurry. I just want to warn you about this mouse.
Yeah! You got asbestos, all right. I bet it's up in the ceiling, mostly. Shouldn't take me more than a day or two to remove it.
Lars points up. Ernie points down, mouthing, mouse.
Okay, then. So we're gonna go upstairs.
All right, well, we'll all go upstairs.
Yeah. Okay, then. Yeah.
What are you doing? He's not listening anymore.
Oh, good. Well, you're the expert. I just hope you can take care of this, whatever it takes. We've been trying to catch this little menace all week.
Here's your problem. Normal people are not psychologically equipped to catch mice. You have to get inside their mind. You have to know what they want, need. You have to think like a mouse. If you can do that, if you can think like a mouse, you can anticipate their moves. Then, boom, sayonara mouse.
Well, some great stuff. Whoa!
Never touch that!
Oh! 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 All right! What is it?
The big one.
It's a flea bomb.
Looks on mice, too.
Yeah? Well, it better. Because we can't handle any more intrusions.
Sure. That's how you perceive it. But to that mouse, you are the intruder.
The elderly workers picket in front of the factory. Lars' car pulls up. The brothers run away from the mob.
I think if we work fast, we can make enough string to meet our orders.
That's the spirit. Just a few cases and we can keep the LaRue. Good luck.
Yeah, no, wait, where are you going? Aren't you gonna help?
I have to run a little errand. I'll see you later. All you have to do is make $1,200 worth. How long did that take? Light a match. They're frightened by fire.
Inside. Lars struggles with an enormous spool of thread. A hook catches a string off his dark blue suit. He sets the spool on a large spindle. Lars sees the suit thread. He licks the end and puts it through a quarter-sized hole. A mechanical hand grabs it and pulls it inside a machine. As Lars walks away, his coat unravels rapidly. He turns and grabs hold of the thread. He puts his foot against a large grated fan. His pant leg begins to unravel. He hops to a machine and pushes buttons. He walks to another and pulls a lever. His shirt sleeve is caught. Lars opens a fuse box. The handle breaks off. A press catches his tie. He tears it off and stands on the floor, clothes unraveled. In the house, Caesar crawls under a table with glowing red goggles. The mouse runs across the tabletop. Caesar sees three specks.
Unsanitary creature.
He pulls out tweezers.
0950, evidence found. Mus communis.
He smells it.
Male.
At a payphone.
Hi, this is Ernest Smuntz of Smuntz String. Is this the business representative for Zepco International? Vinny. Hi, Vinny. Oh, well, I'm glad I can call you Vinny. My brother and I have decided to reconsider your generous offer. I'd love to discuss selling our factory to you. Oh, no, not at the office. How about Elman Square under the big clock at noon?
Ernie sits on a bench. Looks from a clock face to two smiling women. One blonde, one brunette, sitting across from him. The brunette waves at him. Ernie waves his tie back. He stands up and slowly walks over. Two men in black walk to the clock's base. A gust of wind knocks Ernie's hat off. Ernie chases it. Vinny and his associate wait. Ernie follows the hat onto a street. He picks it up and flips it. Ernie turns to see a bus bearing down. At Lars' house. The Smuntz lawyer walks to the door.
You must be Mrs. Lars Smuntz?
I'm afraid that status is in transition.
Oh, well, is Lars in? I'd like to discuss preparations for the auction.
The auction?
At the factory. Lars, naked, gathers one white and four gray balls of thread. In the office.
Careful, Lars. You might catch a cold.
April.
Rudolph's portrait watches wide-eyed. In the house.
1,300 hours. I've activated the Squeak Seeker 2000. I'm about to join with the prey.
A wheeled orb on a cord rolls through debris. Caesar feeds the cord through a hole in the floor while watching a green plasma screen. The orb's red eye focuses. The screen goes to black. The mouse climbs down the cord.
Experiencing malfunction with the plasma screen. Stand by.
The cord continues to unwind from Caesar's backpack. It is wrapped around metal piping. The cord travels around a water heater.
Thing works.
Caesar picks up a bundle of wires. One is cut. The screen comes on, showing the front of Caesar's van. Caesar walks to a window but is stopped. He pulls on the cord. The orb at the end of the cord is tied to the van's winch. Looking down, his helmet magnifies the van. He sees the mouse at the winch.
Oh, nuts!
Caesar is dragged along the floor and down a straight stairway. He is pulled face down along the second story floor. Down the curving stairway and through the door. The flea bomb falls into the foyer. Caesar lies on his back before his van. The mouse scurries down his face and back inside. At a hospital.
Snap baseline EKG of C-spine and chest x-ray and pelvis. Now move. Lie still, Mr. Smutzer. Just been hit by a bus.
I feel fine.
What time is it?
You may have had a concussion. We're going to do a series of x-rays.
You don't understand, Doc. I have to get out of here. I might still have a chance.
You saved your heart.
I'm sorry. Are you family?
Yes, we are sisters.
Oh, great. There's some paperwork I need for you to fill out. Is he an organ donor?
Don't let them fill anything out. I don't even know them.
Oh, I'm Hilde. And this is Ingrid. We are hair models from Belgium.
Belgian hair models? How is that?
Listen to me, Doc. I need to find a phone before I miss out on the most important deal of my life.
I think your brother's a little delirious.
I am not their brother. I don't have any sisters.
Ernie, are you okay? I came as soon as I heard.
Why are you wearing a pink overcoat?
Because April gave us the $1,200!
In the car.
So she just up and gave you the money? You don't think she heard about the auction?
No, I didn't even tell her about the auction until after she took me back. She just showed up at the factory, took off her coat, and begged me to take her.
Wow, I almost can't believe it. I'll be able to open up another restaurant, you're back with April, and you'll even be able to keep that worthless factory.
You know, it's funny that you call the factory worthless. Because, well, there's something I probably should have mentioned before.
Yeah? Well, I guess I have something to confess, too. Hey, isn't that Caesar's truck?
They watch a truck tow the van downhill. Outside the house, an ambulance and fire truck are parked.
Oh, my God. Caesar, what happened?
Please, sir, he's not well.
Try to think. Did you kill the mouse?
What's that? Who's finish? I won't eat it.
How'd you find him? Where was he?
911 call. No voice. Didn't hear screaming in the background. He was locked in a trunk in the attic. We'll call you if we get any leads.
Inside, Ernie walks through the wreckage. Lars descends the stairs, tucking in his shirt. Ernie finds Caesar's tape player.
What's that?
Put that down. What is that? That tickles.
I don't think we're dealing with an ordinary mouse.
In the kitchen, chairs lie on the floor. Spilled food covers the table and counters.
My kitchen. Looks like Caesar decided to make himself a sandwich. Pickles, arugula, and capers. He toasted the side with the cheese, but not the other side. So the arugula doesn't wilt. How did he know that?
The sandwich slides across the counter. Lars picks up a skillet. Ernie lifts the sandwich off the mouse.
Hello.
Hello.
Lars misses, hitting a ladle into shelving. The shelves fall, spilling flour over the brothers.
Ow!
The mouse leaves. Ernie gets up and chases him into a chimney. Ernie climbs up into the chimney.
Did you see him?
Yeah, I see him.
Boss, I'm stuck. Get me out of here. I can't breathe.
I'll get a flashlight.
No. Hurry.
The mouse takes the gas key out.
Get Ernie. I got it.
I can see that.
Hang on, Ernie. The flashlight's broken.
The mouse pushes matches next to Lars and crawls into a crack.
Get Ernie! I got a light!
Great.
Buzz, do you smell something?
Smells like gas.
Lars is flung into a china cupboard. Ernie, trailing fire, shoots out of the chimney and crashes through the frozen lake. In tattered clothes, he sinks to the tub, lying next to the smiling cardboard lady. A plate spins. Lars falls to the floor. The mouse peeks from a hole in the floor. The cupboard falls over Lars, crushing his hands. His head breaks through the top. Ernie enters, sopping wet. Ernie takes off to another room. He grabs an elephant gun off the mantle.
What are you gonna do?
I'm gonna kill that unspeakable thing once and for all.
Oh, come on, Ernie. No, no, no.
Stay back, Lars! I'm a man on a mission!
Look, this is how accidents happen. Come on, Ernie. Now put the gun down. Calm down. Come on.
I'm gonna blow his furry little head off. And I'm gonna splatter his devious little mouse brain from here to kingdom come!
No, no, you're gonna blow a hole in the wall! Come on!
It'll be worth it!
Look, think of the auction! Look, look, think of the money, Ernie! The money! We're gonna cut our price if there's bullet holes in the walls! Come on!
The money?
Yeah, the money! The moolah! Yeah!
There he goes.
Shoot! Shoot!
In the kitchen, the mouse enters an empty coffee can. He starts rolling it out into the foyer.
Are you crazy? You're blowing the whole house up. The only thing you haven't hit so far is the mouse. What do you give somebody else a chance with that gun?
Lars stares down the gun barrel.
You're doing a wonderful job.
The can rolls past a doorway. Ernie aims in the kitchen.
Whoa! You got him.
The mouse scurries into the foyer. Ernie puts the barrel through a hole in the floor.
See you, mouse.
The barrel points to the flea bomb.
Fire!
The floor blackens and falls out. The mouse emerges from an electrical socket in the floor. It scuttles to the edge of the blast. Ernie and Lars lie 12 feet below amidst the rubble.
God, I hate that mouse.
When you hear the beep, start talking.
Mr. Schmutz, this is Vinny, Zepko calling. We waited in the square for over an hour, but you never showed. We do not appreciate being treated this way, especially after your brother already turned down our generous offer. Consider our proposal withdrawn.
Betrayed by my own brother.
Betrayal?
Don't talk to me about betrayal. You should have told me about that offer. Half that factory is mine.
And half is mine, including the half that you tried to sell.
Yes, and would have if it hadn't been for that stinking bus.
Bus? You can't leave well enough alone, can you? You ruin everything.
Me? You blame me for this?
Well, look. You blew a hole in the floor!
Yeah, well, I distinctly remember somebody yelling, shoot, shoot!
Yeah, well, you've never listened to me before.
And you know why?
Why?
Because I have no respect for you, spending your whole life in that stupid factory. It's tragic.
You think I didn't have other things I wanted to do with my life? You think I didn't have ambitions of my own?
Oh, come on, you love string.
I didn't love string.
Well, you could have fooled me. You and Pop were always huddled together, running some piece of something through your fingers. And it didn't matter what I did. I didn't even exist. I made him my special rack of lamb for his 70th birthday.
Oh, no.
Yes, you remember. Oh, I slaved over that meal, making sure everything was perfect. Did he say thanks, Ernie? It was delicious? No. He only noticed the string I had tied it with. He was crazy. But I still wanted his approval. I didn't leave Lars, I was cast out.
There you go again. Blaming everything else but yourself. You think you're a success, huh? Well, you can't cook!
I hate you.
And I hate you.
Not as much as I hate you.
Yeah?
Yeah, double. I'll give me something.
Lars picks up an orange.
I'm gonna brain you.
Here it is.
Oh, yeah, give it to me then. Go ahead.
Ow. Ernie ducks and the orange hits the mouse.
You killed him. I didn't even know he was there.
Just think of all the trouble we could have saved ourselves if we just threw fruit at him in the first place.
Oh, look, he's still breathing.
Well, kill him. Yeah. Find a blunt object.
There you go. Get
that. Let him have it. What are you waiting for?
I can't just hit him with a shovel.
Why not?
Well, look at him. He's pathetic.
Pathetic? He's Hitler with a tail. This is the Omen with whiskers. Nostradamus didn't see this thing coming.
Well, and he's a living thing.
Not for long. Give me that. I can't! Look at him just lying there. It just doesn't feel very sportsmanlike.
We better do something quick. I think he's coming too.
In the car, Ernie holds a box postmarked to Fidel Castro, Havana, Cuba.
Oh, I forgot to put holes in the box.
The car stops at a post office. Lars opens a mail slide.
Still a beastie, you little rat.
Come on, we got work to do.
2 days till payday, my friend.
April cuts a check. The half-bald man accepts it. Lars hands her gloves. She gets up and looks from Lars to Ernie in the foyer. Lars and Ernie lay down a sheet of plywood. A postal car pulls out of the post office. Ernie and Lars unroll carpeting. A plane flies over palm trees at sunset. A woman picks up the box from a conveyor belt and places it on a scale. Subtitles appear. Lousy Americans. They're always trying to cheat us. The woman stamps the box. Insuficiente. In the foyer, Lars and Ernie stand at the stairway in tuxes.
Perfect. It's the architectural find of the decade.
Oh, that's good. Shall we?
Yes.
People in formal evening wear mingle.
Well, it wasn't easy, but we finally made it.
Mm-hmm. Ernie, I want you to have something.
Pop's lucky piece of string. I'm glad you kept it.
He wanted us to share it. I don't know why, but I think if he were here right now, he'd be proud of you.
I think he'd be proud of us.
The Belgian sisters stand on the doorstep.
Hello, ladies. How magnificent. Welcome. Lars, you remember Ingrid and Hilda?
Hello.
Oh, ladies, your hair looks positively biblical.
Oh, thank you.
Well, if you will excuse me, I have to check on my crepes.
Mouth open, Lars stares at Hilda's blonde hair, styled as a spool of thread with needle.
Keep the champagne coming, boys. The more they drink, the higher they bid.
Hey, you boys put up quite a shindig here, huh?
Thank you so much, Mr. Falco.
Falco begins to devour a bowl of maraschino cherries. Ernie pulls the bowl away.
You know, it would be very, very sad if you boys put on this auction and nobody bid.
That would put a real crimp in our evening. But I don't think there's any danger of that happening.
I don't know. There's a lot of Euro trash out there scarfing up the shrimps. I tell you what. You call off the auction now, and I will write you a check for 10 millions.
As insanely generous as that is, I have to decline, but I do appreciate your thoughtful concern. Enjoy the party.
Are you interested in spooling?
Oh, sure. My brother and I own a string factory.
Oh, I would love to see a factory sometime.
Really?
Oh, hello, April. What a surprise. Just dropping by for no reason, I suppose.
Does a wife need a reason?
Ah.
Oh, are you entertaining?
Don't you mean ex-wife?
Not quite yet.
Ah, Hakuna Matata.
This crepe, c'est magnifique. The raisins are a nice touch.
They are good, aren't they? Raisins.
Outside. Lars tosses a bag of trash away. He looks down and furrows his brow. He picks up a box in the snow. It's the mouse's box. A corner is missing.
Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. We are about to start the auction.
Lars, I don't know whether to congratulate you or wish you luck.
Wish us luck.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us for this momentous occasion. The auction of our one item up for bid, the missing LaRue. Before we start, I would like to introduce you to the very fortunate owner of this architectural wonder, Mr. Ernest Smuts.
Ernie pulls out Rudolph's lucky string. Lars stands behind the guests.
Thank you all for coming. When my father left this extraordinary house to my brother Lars...
Ernie stares at Lars, who mimes a mouse.
And myself, we had no idea what surprises were in store for us or what was going to happen next.
Ernie looks down to see the mouse eat the string. Ernie grabs the gavel.
When Quincy Thorpe of the Historical Society told us of its value, you could have... No! A silver with a feather. We didn't know what... Hit us! The renovation was exhausting, but ultimately rewarding. The house was in terrible disrepair, but nothing that a few nails and some old-fashioned elbow grease couldn't fix.
I'm sure the people are eager to get to the bidding.
What?
The bidding.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Spence.
No matter what happens, keep going.
Built in 1876, the last LaRue known in existence has five bedrooms.
Did you see him? Yes, I thought so. He ate the string. What? The string. Pop's lucky string. Why didn't you tell me you saw him? I didn't quite know this.
I told you you should have waited.
I'm sorry. Did you see where it went? No, but it can't have gone far.
Well, shall we start the bidding at $1 million? Now, we all know we're here to bid on the missing LaRue. Shall we start the bidding at $500,000? Very good. I have $500,000 from the gentleman from Japan. Now, can I hear a million? Can I hear 1 million?
A million! I'll give you 1.5.
I have $1.5 million. Will someone give me 2?
There he is.
The mouse is in
Ladies
Ingrid's coiled braided
like
hair.
I'd like to remind you that all the carpets and tapestries were woven by hand in the Hunnes Valley in northern Turkey.
Oh.
Now, can I have an advance on 1.5? May I have 2? Can I have 2, ladies and gentlemen?
$2 million.
I have $2 million.
Ernie and Lars sit down next to Ingrid and Hilda.
I have $2 million, ladies and gentlemen. Can I have an advance? Can I have an advance on $2 million?
The mouse hops to Hilda's hair spool.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to draw your attention to the encrusted details of the gold and silver leafed.
I got it!
The mouse slides down Lars' sleeve.
The sheep bids $5 million. Thank you, sir. I have $5 million. $5 million.
Lars contorts in the aisle.
$5 million. Ladies and gentlemen, $5 million. Can I have an advance? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the missing LaRue.
Lars knocks a cigarette into Hilda's stool.
Oh, I've got you now, my little friend.
Hold on, holding it.
$5 million for the missing LaRue.
Have you got it yet?
Will I have an advance beyond
$5 million?
I'm not sure. Ladies and gentlemen, can I have an advance of 5? Will someone give me $6 million?
$6 million!
Thank you, sir. I have $6 million. The bidding stands at $6 million. Can I have an advance? An advance, ladies and gentlemen. Can I have an advance on 6? $6 million? The bidding stands at $6 million.
$7 million.
$7 million. Thank you, sir. $7 million. Any advance on 7?
Ernie grabs a martini. He tosses the olive. It lands in Falco's mouth. Ernie pours the drink in Hilda's hair. It ignites.
Keep her away from the wall! The house is pieces!
Can I have 7.5? I have $8 million.
A man applies the Heimlich to Falco.
$8 million going twice.
$8 million! $8 million! You should have taken that check!
$10 million!
The olive shoots out of Falco's mouth and into April's.
$11 million from the gentleman from Japan.
12, 13, 14. Ernie finds the mouse.
Aha! 16 million from early months. Now!
The Texan applies the Heimlich to April.
17 million!
17 million. Thank you, sir. I had $17 million. Any advance on 17?
In the foyer, Lars runs in with a running hose. Mr. Quincy dumps an ice bucket over Hilda.
Good idea.
The mouse scurries through a hole. Ernie jams the hose in.
When I tell you to, turn it on full blast. We'll flush him.
Now!
The faucet knob breaks off. Inside, water leaks onto the floor.
18 million.
$18 million from the lady from New York City. Thank you.
You don't have that kind of money.
Water begins to fill the space between the walls. The mouse climbs over a wood partition.
20 million.
20 million. Thank you, Mr. Palto. I have 20. Can I hear 21?
The partition falls over. Water rushes through the corridor.
$21 million from the gentleman from Japan. Any advance on 21?
$22 million, that's my last offer.
$22 million going once.
The mouse climbs a chain.
$25
million! $25 million.
The mouse floats in a small bucket.
Thank you, sir.
Water dribbles out of the moose head's eyes.
The bidding stands at $25 million. Do I have an advance? $25 million going once.
The wall behind the podium leaks water.
$25 million going twice.
Guests are swept onto the front yard.
Hey! Don't go! The water was just a demonstration of how durable a LaRue really is. How about that? Now you know this house will last forever!
April pulls the Texan by his tie into a car. Lars and Ernie stand in the middle of the wreckage. A golden light appears. A piece of string floats down. Just for the string, it splits in two. The brothers look at each other. The yellow car drives down from the hill. The mouse hangs on to the exhaust pipe. The car pulls up to the factory. In the office. Lars and Ernie are asleep heads resting on the desk. Rudolph's portrait gazes up to the mouse. Outside, the windows light up. Cheese is dropped by a conveyor belt. A bright yellow ball is placed on another belt.
It's string.
Ernie peels a piece and bites it.
It's cheese.
They look up to the mouse. Men in white coats handle cheese before polished machinery.
And the entire factory has been retrofitted to facilitate the manufacturing of cheese-based products.
I see.
And over here, we're developing our new lactose-free line.
What is that?
Oh, that's quality control.
Here you go, knock yourself out.
The mouse nibbles, then tosses a piece of curry cheese.
Oh, no good, huh? Otis, more curry. Okay, try this one.
The mouse slurps a green string.
Huh? It's mozzarella and herring. You can taste the herring, right? I've also got a great idea for a caviar brie swirl and a peanut butter and jelly provolone for the kids. But what I really want to talk to you about is expansion and marketing. I think you should be our spokesperson. I know some people who used a mouse as a spokesperson, and it seemed to work out pretty well. You see, I want to turn this into the string cheese factory of tomorrow.
Rudolph's portrait smiles. Next to it, the lucky string is framed. A plaque reads, "A world without string is chaos. R. Smuts. Fade to black." Words appear, dedicated to the memory of William Hickey.